Amen. Appreciate that presentation, and thankful for what the Lord will do in and through the Herbster family there in that very needy field of Hong Kong. So many places around this globe are becoming more and more difficult to get into, and more and more difficult to be able to exist in. And we do have a shortened time there as it relates to reaching that city for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so excited for these varied ways to not only get the gospel into these locations, but then also to be able to raise up churches that will remain and believers that will remain. If you would take your Bibles this morning and go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 13 this morning. Acts chapter 13. This is one of my favorite passages in the scriptures, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach here in our missions conference. Very thankful for each of the men that have already preached, and thankful for Brother Richard Hurst, thankful for Brother Steve Piggott, and was looking forward to hosting Brother Danny Whetstone with us for our conference this year, and the Lord had other plans, and it's not the norm for me to be able to preach a missions message, but it is always a privilege and a delight, and we'll look forward to rescheduling Brother Whetstone in the future. We look forward now in 2020 to our conference in 2021. And so we're making preparations for that day and making preparations for the missionaries that we'll host next year and our guest speaker and everything that's involved with that. So I hope you'll begin even now thinking towards that and praying towards that. And this is the highlight each and every year of our church calendar. Acts chapter 13, we want to begin reading in verse number 1. Acts chapter 13, begin reading in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's ask the Lord's blessings as we look at this passage and other passages this morning. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to participate in this virtual World Missions Conference. It is unbelievable to think about the 7+ billion people that are alive in the world today. And we know with every passing moment, every passing second, that there are people that are going into eternity. And the time is short. We have much to do. I pray that from our own assembly here at FBT, here in the Fairfax Station in the greater Washington, D.C. area, pray from our own midst that you'd raise up more laborers for the harvest field. Would you look out into our congregation and see men and young men and even teenagers and young boys that would answer the call to go and plant and pastor new works that would be raised up around the globe? Would you put it upon a heart, the heart of the young lady, to follow in the footsteps of Pamela Wheeler and to be that missionary assistant to a church planter as well? We're delighted to see what you've done through her life. Lord, we pray for others that would go. We pray now that you would direct our attention in this time of the message. I pray that this would be a help for each one that is tuning in. Lord, it's not a custom for me to be able to preach on this topic of missions and a missions conference, but it is a great privilege. And I'm so thankful for the men that you brought alongside of us this week and what's been delivered thus far. And I pray that this would just be a furtherance of our desire for faith promise missions giving and this need of world evangelization. Would you direct my thinking this morning as I present the Word of God today? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been so blessed by the uniqueness of this virtual conference. And I've heard from many people that have said that it has been a blessing to their heart. And they've been able to tune in each night and be able to see and hear the messages and to be able to hear from these missionary presentations. I pray that the preaching has been a blessing to you, and I hope that your heart has been challenged yet again with what God wants us to do in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Several weeks ago, we began to look at the process of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And one Sunday, we looked at the crucifixion of Christ. The next Sunday, we looked at the resurrection of Christ. Last Sunday, we looked at the ascension of Christ. And as we looked at the ascension of Christ, and I mentioned this last Sunday morning, we looked at the ramifications of the ascension. It brought us the great comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful for the investment that the Holy Spirit makes every day for us as believers. We're mindful of His great comfort. We're mindful of His great commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're also mindful of the ramification of His coming. Jesus said, I'm going to go away from you, but I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I want to take a time this morning to go further on one of these aspects and look further at the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the ramifications of His ascension, His great comfort, His great commission, and His great coming. But what does the Bible say about His great commission? We looked at this briefly last Sunday morning, and we recognize that His great commission is based upon His power, it's based upon His plan, and it's based upon His prayer. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. But as we consider this issue of the great commission, we understand that reaching the world for Jesus Christ takes finances and resources. As Brother Matt Herbster just said in his presentation, it is an expensive endeavor to be able to take the gospel to these varied countries around the world. I remember when I was growing up and would interact with my mom and dad about something that I would either like to purchase or something that they would like to purchase or something that maybe we as a family wanted to purchase. I can remember my parents saying to us as their three children, they'd say something like this, what? Do you think that money grows on trees? And my brother and my sister and I would respond in some sort of a fashion. We had no concept of what it costs to provide for a family and to provide the roof over our head. I was talking with my mom yesterday, and she has a sort of a diary that details the nature of costs and what they were charged for different things back in the 80s. And it is interesting to now hear what things cost back then versus what they cost now. But so many young people would look at their mom and dad and they'd say, well, let's just do it. Let's just write a check, as though there doesn't have to be any funding backing that check up. Or someone might say, just put it on a credit card. I mean, after all, the funding will eventually be there. But the famous statement was, money does not grow on trees. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if God would plant a money tree every time He planted a New Testament church? Wouldn't it be awesome if we sent out a church planter, and as we sent him out, we sent him with a little baggie, and in that little baggie was a seed. And that seed was the beginnings of a money tree. And so we were to say to one of our church planters, perhaps our church planter that serves in Georgetown, Kentucky, wouldn't it be awesome if we said, now we're sending you out and we're sending you to plant a new church in Georgetown, Kentucky. And oh, by the way, take this little pouch, this little bag, and take the contents of it and plant this seed as soon as you get there. And perhaps he'd say something like this, hey, that's fantastic, that's a great idea, I can't wait to get there. And so he arrives in Georgetown, Kentucky, he sets up shop, provides a home for his family, and he goes out in the backyard or somewhere there by a new piece of property for the church, and he plants the seed out of that bag, out of that pouch, and it begins to grow. And then lo and behold, a couple of years into the growth, there's a sprout. And from that sprout, it's a $1 bill. And the pastor says, oh, my. Think about what we can do with this $1 bill. And then lo and behold, as he watches that tree grow a little bit more, there's a $5 bill that sprouted. And then a $100 bill. And then what would it be like if he actually saw the sprouting of a $500 bill? Now, I'm inclined to think that anyone would want to be the finance manager of a church that had an actual money tree. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? I'd go down to the finance office and I'd say to our finance man, "Hey, we need to send some more money to this place." "No problem. I'll be back in a few minutes." And he goes out behind a fenced-in section, perhaps a vaulted section because of how expensive and how valued it would be. He unlocks all the combinations and he goes and he says, "My, oh my, look at all the new sprouts." And he picks off a $500 bill and a $500 bill and a $10 bill and a $50 bill and a $20 bill. And he says, "Okay, that's what Pastor needs." And he comes back to me and says, "Hey, here's what you need. Go ahead and send it out." Wouldn't it be awesome if God had designed the spiritual, physical money tree that would provide for all the needs of the local church? I know when I was a kid, I probably did think that money grew on trees, but it does not. God has not given us a money tree, but he has actually developed a way for us to be able to fund a missionary endeavor as they carry the gospel around the globe. Right here in Acts chapter 13, we realize that a local church, the church there at Antioch, had a burden. And God looked down upon that congregation and said, "Separate these two out, and I'm going to use them to carry my gospel to places that have never heard." We know this as the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And it begins out as Barnabas and Saul, but it transitions to being Paul and Barnabas. And there is so much that is accomplished in this first missionary journey. A number of years ago on Wednesday nights, we looked through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul in this first journey and his second journey and his third journey. We know that his fourth journey was funded by the Roman Empire as he carried the gospel all the way into Europe and led people to the Lord Jesus Christ there in Rome. There's no money tree, though. But God does have a plan for us to reach the world and for us to be able to fund or provide the financing to send missionaries around the world. Now, we here at FBT do that through what is called Faith Promise Missions Giving. Perhaps you're new to us here at FBT, or perhaps you're tuning in and you've never heard of Faith Promise Missions Giving, or some call it Grace Giving. There's a variety of ways that churches give to missions. There are some churches that collect up one main offering every year, and they take that one main offering and send it to a denominational headquarters. And they use all that funding through the denomination that they can support missions on a yearly basis. There are other churches that take their budget, and as they have their annual budget, they will designate a certain amount of percentage from their budget to be able to go towards worldwide evangelization. Here at FBT, we use what I believe is to be a most biblical effort in sending forth the gospel around the world. It's Faith Promise Missions Giving. I remember many years ago as a young person growing up here at Fairfax Baptist Temple and listening to our mission speakers such as Monroe Parker and Don Sisk as they would come and represent their different mission boards, and they would challenge us in this area of missions. I remember Dr. Johnny Halsey that would come, and he'd even stay in our house, and so many people know about him because of his great lessons on Faith Promise Missions Giving and Grace Giving. And so here we have the opportunity to, by faith, promise to Almighty God an amount of money above and beyond our tithes and offerings that we will designate towards worldwide evangelization. By faith, each year we make a commitment to God. We promise before Him that we will give X number of dollars to the work of God through this local church to be able to send missionaries around the world. This is by faith. Each member of FBT should take it upon themselves to be giving something to worldwide evangelism. This is beyond our tithes and offerings, but it is a great endeavor to partner with God in what He desires to do around the globe. I want to just briefly this morning focus in on a couple of different aspects on what is necessary in this missions giving, in this endeavor to reach the globe for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you notice with me, number one, and keep your Bibles handy, and if you're taking notes this morning, I'll try to lay out the different points and give you opportunity to write them down. But would you consider with me, first of all, as we consider what is necessary, we ask ourselves, what is necessary to fulfill the Great Commission? Well, number one, I've already referenced it. There's necessary funding for world evangelization. Necessary funding. Now, if you have your Bibles handy, I would like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Necessary funding for world evangelization. There's a necessary funding. How are we going to make this process work? If there's no money tree out back, if there's no capacity for us to print money or to be able to grow money, then how will we receive the necessary funding? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he challenges them on this matter of faith promise missions giving, this grace giving. He challenges them with the testimony of what God was doing in Macedonia. Would you look at verse number 1 with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also. The Apostle Paul saying, let me tell you about what is happening in the churches of Macedonia as they are giving to worldwide evangelization. Now, we understand that this church first gave their own selves. And by the way, my friend, that's the starting point. God will never get your wallet until He has your heart. Today, it is my prayer that God has the heart of every participant at FBT. And I tell you, if God has our heart, He'll have no trouble having what is in our wallet. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we see Paul challenging the church at Corinth with the testimony of what was happening in Macedonia. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I want you to read with me here in Philippians chapter 4 as we consider the necessary funding for world evangelization. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14, notwithstanding, again, the Apostle Paul speaking to the local church in Philippi, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then look what he says in response to their generosity in missions giving. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'll say more about this passage in just a little bit, but I want you to see the flow of what's taking place. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, here is a challenge from another sister church. The church is in Macedonia. And what is happening there? Corinth, I want you to be involved. I want you to exercise faith. I want you to step out in this grace also and to be faithful in ministering to those that are carrying the gospel. He then goes to the church at Philippi and he says, bless you for all that you've done. You've met my needs time and again. And in turn for God, or for you meeting the needs of Almighty God, he says to them, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, would you take your Bibles and go with me to one more passage, a passage I love in 3 John. This is the Apostle John, and he writes to another local assembly, and he says in 3 John, in verse number 5, 3 John, verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that, for his name's sake, they went forth. That's the missionary. That's the church planter. For the sake of the name of Almighty God, they went forth. Look at it. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. This is not an unsaved or an unredeemed type agenda. This is the agenda of believers. They went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore, that's believers, that's you and I here in this local church. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So do you see the theme here? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hey, church at Corinth, look at what this other church is doing by means of missions giving that the gospel might be spread. He says to the church at Philippi, hey, I'm so excited about what you've done time and again, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Then we come to this passage and we say it's not about taking from the Gentiles. It's about being received by believers, being received by local churches. Local churches come alongside of them and help fund them that they might carry the gospel around the globe. That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, by God's grace, FBT has a great number of families out from our own midst. And so we have sent forth people from our own church that they might carry the gospel to places like Cape Verde, to places like Albania, to places like Brazil and Ecuador. By God's grace, we're looking forward to the day where we can send the next church planter to the Ukraine. And boy, I'm so excited about what God is continuing to raise up as he looks out amongst our crowd to find the next one that will potentially be called. We have an unbelievable opportunity to send out from our own that they might go. Boy, I pray to God that we'll always be known as a sending place. Lord, protect us from the attitude of being a keeping place. And may ye always give us a burden to be a sending place. The first thing that we find is a necessary funding for world evangelization. It's necessary to fund the missionaries that they might go to the field. It's necessary that we fund the missionaries that they might remain on the field. We want to pay for them to be sent. We want to pay for them to stay. It's a necessary ingredient. And we do not have a money tree to which we can go to and pull off the bills and say, hey, let's send them out because we have vast resources. No, God has said to his people, I want you to be an active part in what I'm doing around the globe. And so I want you, each of you, young people, teenagers, young adults, adults alike, to be invested in funding world evangelization. Number one, there's a necessary funding for world evangelization. But number two, there's a necessary faith in world evangelization. A necessary faith in world evangelization. If we go back in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I want to pick up the reading from there as the Apostle Paul detailed the nature of this challenge from the churches there in Macedonia, from the church there in Macedonia. And he challenges them with, he says, we do you to wit. We want to bring to your attention what God is doing through others. And we want to pray that God will do this same thing through you. And so we begin reading in verse number 6. Here it is. This is the transition from the example of the church in Macedonia to the church in Corinth. And he says, look, this is the challenge for your assembly. And he says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Titus has seen this happen in Macedonia. He's now going to bring it to Corinth, and he's going to teach you about these things as well. Let's continue our reading, verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace are we talking about? What is this matter? It is the matter of grace giving. Faith, promise, missions, giving. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. The nature of our giving is about equal sacrifice and not necessarily equal giving. We have people from around our church that will give a variety of different things. I've had the young person come and say, Pastor, I'm so excited. For the first time, I'm putting a dollar bill in the offering plate to be able to give to missions. And you know what? God will honor that dollar bill. I've had others that have come and said, you know, I've never given anything to missions, but this year, by God's grace, I'm going to give $5 a week in missions giving. And boy, I tell you, that thrills my heart. Perhaps God would have you to be challenged this year in giving $10 a week. Perhaps it would be $100 a week. Perhaps God would work in just such an unbelievable way that you'd give even beyond that. Whatever it is, the challenge has come to us. And he says, listen, it's not just about the preparation of it, it's about the doing of it as well. And so I want us as a church to look out and to, by faith, trust the Lord to work through our lives, to work through our finances, and to be able to fulfill his directives for missions giving in the coming year. I'm so thankful for my wife and for our sons and for their giving spirit. And I know that as a dad, it was my desire in their lives to begin to institute missions giving early on. And so in our home, when the boys were very small, we began giving them commissions. But we directed them in the giving of their commissions that when they received commissions each week, that they would give half of whatever they received in commissions. And they took that half and they divided it between their tithes and offerings. and their missions giving. Well, we're beyond what they received in those $1 and $2 and $4 days. But I'm so thankful that the boys are still taking opportunity to give faithfully to the Lord. And in our home, for example, there will be 3 Faith Promise missions commitments each and every year. My wife and I will make one together, and then each of our sons will make a commitment. Why? Because each of us as believers have the obligation to not only talk about missions, but to invest in missions. And it is by faith that we make a promise to God that in this coming year we're going to give X amount of dollars and trust God to see that funding come in. Now, my friend, I believe with all of my heart that it takes faith in 2 different areas as we consider this necessary faith. It takes faith for the missionary to go. I don't know of any missionary that would readily say, oh, I just can't wait to receive a one-way ticket and take my family outside of the United States to a foreign culture and a foreign country where I probably know very few people, learn a new language, and do all of this, and they're not stepping out by faith. It is a tremendous step of faith. I remember a number of years ago in our church in Greenville, Tennessee, I had a young man that came to me. He and his family were actively serving the Lord in our church, and I'm so thankful for them to this day and grateful for what God did through them. But he came to me and said, Pastor, I believe that we should have a Spanish ministry here in our church. And if we're going to do that, there's a couple of different ways for us to learn Spanish. We could go to night school and begin to take college classes and learn the language through the course of several years. Or we could go down to Costa Rica and be in the language school there in Costa Rica and just integrate ourselves into the culture of Costa Rica and do 1 year of language study and come back and get started right away. And so I said to him, I said, well, let me begin to pray about it. And I spoke with our deacons and our church, and we began to pray about it. And we had some additional funding that came in from our missions giving in the previous year. We had some surplus. And so here's what I said to our gentleman that was willing to go and learn the language that we might be able to begin a Spanish ministry. I said to him, I said, we're going to front the funding to be able to send you to the field. And so we had X amount of dollars, and we wrote the check from our church, and we spent several tens of thousands of dollars to get him and his family down to Costa Rica, set up in their home, and set up in the language school. And we endeavored to send them and see this all accomplished in 1 year so that we could raise up a Spanish ministry in the church. But I told him, I said, as you go, the amount that we can set aside right now is not enough to bring you home. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to step out by faith. We're going to step out by faith. If you will step out in faith and go and allow us the transition funding to get set up and allow us the fees to get you set up in the school, then by faith over the next 52 weeks on Wednesday nights, we're going to take up a love offering every Wednesday night. And all of that funding will be for the purpose of bringing you back. And I can even remember sitting there and talking to him right now. And I thought to myself, I said, this man is willing to step out on faith. Because we don't have all the funding available to us right now to accomplish the entirety of the year's worth of work. For the existence of a family on the foreign field, for the existence of rent, for the existence of funding for their food and all that would be necessary to meet their needs. But I said to him, I said, we've got the funding to get you there. And over the next 52 weeks, we'll seek to take up the funding to get you home. And boy, I tell you what, it encouraged my heart to no end. Because that man and his family stepped out on faith and said, Pastor, we will board the plane. We will invest ourselves in the language school. And we will do our best. And we will trust that Central will raise the funding to bring us back. And you know, by God's grace, over the next 52 weeks, we saw the entirety of the funding come in. And instead of it taking several years and different college classes and different settings for them to learn the language, it took 1 year. God raised it up by faith, And they came back, and almost 1 year from the date, they began a Spanish ministry and reached scores of people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ right there in Greenville. I'm mindful of the fact that this takes necessary funding. It's not cheap to send a missionary to the field. It's not cheap to sustain a missionary on the field. But I'm also mindful that there is a necessary faith. The missionary must have faith that as he goes forth, there will be someone on the home front holding the ropes so that they can stay busy about the labor. There's a necessary faith. My friend, whether you're a part of FBT or a part of some other fundamental church around this country, will you step out on faith and give to missionary endeavors so that the gospel can be spread in every city, in every county, in every country, in every continent around this globe? If right now you're giving to tithes and offerings and ministering through the local church that you have in your location, boy, praise the Lord that that church is there sustaining the needs during this difficult time. But you know, my friend, there's more than that. There's a lost and dying world. And I believe that we ought to be challenged by the churches there in Philippi, and the church there in Philippi, and challenged by the church at Corinth, and challenged by the other churches and the examples that were set forth as they became fellow helpers to the truth. May this missionary enterprise never stop until the Lord Jesus Christ calls us home. Number one, I believe there's necessary funding. Number two, I believe that there's necessary faith. Necessary faith on the behalf of the missionary to go. Necessary faith for the church member to be active above their tithes and offerings in supporting worldwide evangelization. But there's a third part, and I'd be remiss if I ever left this out. There's necessary funding. There's necessary faith. And then number three, there's a necessary force. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, again, the Apostle Paul writing in his first epistle to Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to see the necessary force behind world evangelization. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, Jesus Christ said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." John chapter 20, Jesus said to the disciples, "Even as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now, if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, would you look at this passage with me and read with me verses 5 through 10. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered." Here's the force behind world evangelization. God gave the increase. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You know, behind every single effort to reach the gospel in a fundamental, or to reach the world with the gospel in a fundamental way, is a driving force. It is the power of Almighty God, and it is God that gives the increase. It is God Almighty that calls a man to go. It is God Almighty that convicts the sinner to get saved. And it is God Almighty that challenges the believer to give in this missionary endeavor. If God has put upon your heart an amount, then by God's grace, through faith, you ought to fulfill that obligation and keep that promise to Almighty God. Now, the promise is never made to FBT. The promise is never verbalized. We have no idea who promises what in faith promise missions giving. It is a commitment between you and Almighty God. But I believe that as we make a commitment, as the widow gives her mite, as the millionaire gives his thousands, I believe that God gets behind all of that and is the driving force to see churches raised up, people saved, people discipled, and more churches following in like fashion. Now, FBT, can I say to you this morning, praise the Lord, we're not the only ones participating in this. I am so thankful for our sister churches
here in this area. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but we're not in competition. We're not in competition with the other independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches here in the area. It's not a competition, but I'm so thankful for their cooperation. I was speaking this week with a dear friend of mine who serves in a sister church here in the area. And he served the Lord on the mission field for many, many years. And in our church in Tennessee and here at FBT, we had the opportunity to be able to support him as he carried forth the gospel. And it just rejoices my heart as other churches here in this area have people from their midst that are sent out and we can partner with them. But behind all of this is a driving force. And that driving force, that necessary force, is Almighty God. You see, we are responsible for planting. We are responsible for watering, but it is God that gives the increase. We are thankful for our sister churches, both here in this area and around the world. But can I say to the FBT church family, boy, I tell you what, we ought never to rest on our laurels trusting that someone else is going to do it. We have the obligation as an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, we have the obligation to be duplicating ourselves all over the world. And I wonder, my friend, if we are doing that, trusting God Almighty to take that little stone that we've got, to take that little bit of oil that we've got, and to be able to multiply it, that people from around this globe can hear the truth of Jesus Christ. Number one this morning, there's necessary funding. It doesn't come from a tree in the back of our church facilities. It comes from the people of Almighty God. It takes a great investment to get a missionary to the field and to keep him on the field. There's a necessary funding. But number two, there's a necessary faith for both the missionary and the missionary supporter. It is a promise to give to God by faith to see missions go forth. But my friend, there's a necessary force, and it is God that gives the increase. He is the one that was behind all of our missionary endeavors. Can I tell you this morning, as a result of the funding that is given, as a result of the faith that has been exercised, and as a result of the force that is behind this missionary endeavor, there has been much fruit. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says to the church at Philippi, I desire this, that fruit may abound to your account. Can I tell you this morning of a man by the name of Pastor Antonio? Pastor Antonio is in Santa Maria, Brazil. He was won to Christ by a missionary by the name of Roger Crowder. Roger Crowder was sent out of a church and came to our ministry in Tennessee, and we came alongside of him and supported him as well. We provided the necessary funding for him to carry the gospel to Brazil. And while he was in Brazil, he met a man by the name of Antonio, and Antonio trusted Christ. And Antonio said, Brother Roger, I want to take the gospel back to my home. And so he left Porto Alegre and traveled a number of hours to Santa Maria and raised up the Fundamental Baptist Church of Santa Maria. And there were scores of people that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of Santa Maria. And I had the opportunity to preach in Santa Maria many years ago. It's been almost 18 years ago now. It's hard to imagine that that much time has gone by. But I'll never forget that night. It was in the summertime for the people from the States, and I had a teen group that were there. And in Brazil at that time, because they're south of the equator, it was their winter. And so we were all bundled up, and there's so many different stories from that night of preaching the Word of God. It was an unbelievable night because I didn't think it would be that cold, but it wound up being far colder than we thought, and there was no heating provided in the building at that time there in Santa Maria. And I remember, as the missionary interpreted for my message, and I remember preaching that night on the thief on the cross. And that night will always stand out to us because we were traveling by a Greyhound bus there in Brazil in our group of some 20 plus people. And while I was preaching in that church in Santa Maria, and I was preaching on the thief on the cross, after the service we found out that there had been a thief on the bus. And a thief had gotten onto our bus, and outside of our sight he had stolen a number of items off of our bus. And so that night stands out to me and will till the day I pass away. As I was preaching on the thief on the cross, there was a thief on our bus. But I remember Pastor Antonio very well. The ministry of Brother Roger Crowder and Brother Mike Ring. I looked in the faces of those Brazilians. We didn't speak the same language. I do love to hear them speak Brazilian. And I love to hear them sing. But I didn't always know what they were saying because I don't know Portuguese. And as I think on them singing in Portuguese and speaking in Portuguese and not knowing everything that's taking place, I think to myself, you know, there'll be a day when we gather in heaven and we'll all speak the same language. And I believe that day will be a wonderful day. Because I can imagine Brother Roger Crowder, Brother Mike Ring, giving a big hug to Pastor Antonio. And then Pastor Antonio says, I want you to meet some other people. And perhaps if you'll bear with me in the analogy, Brother Roger and Brother Mike Ring, come to the people of Fairfax Baptist. And he says to the people of FBT, not in Portuguese and not in English, but he says to us in that heavenly language, do you see this fruit? It abounds to your account. In the last number of weeks, what investments we've been able to make for the day of retirement have really suffered because of the ever-changing stock market. But I tell you, what investment that I've made that has not suffered? And it is the internal investment in the Roger Crowders and the Mike Rings that have carried the gospel to Porto Alegre, Brazil. They might see the gospel go to Santa Maria. They might see people get saved. And fruit that abounds to our account. Wednesday night, Brother Richard spoke on the God of the impossible. It might seem as though it's an impossible task to be able to take the gospel to the world. But we serve the God of the impossible. Thursday night, Brother Piggott spoke on keeping the main thing the main thing. And delivering the gospel to the world, to the regions beyond, is the main thing. Friday night, Brother Piggott asked what you have in your home. What do you have in your hand that you could use to spread the word to those who have never heard? This morning, in looking at Faith Promise Missions Giving, there's a necessary funding. Every person at FBT should be making a commitment. Oh, we're not together physically where we can receive up cards. But I believe every person that's a part of FBT should be making a commitment to God. God,
In the next 52 weeks, this is what I desire for you to do through me to reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's not a money tree. But it is a promise that you will make before God, that you will by faith give above and beyond your tithes and offerings, that you might help this missionary endeavor. Would you make a commitment to God this year to give an amount over and above your tithes and offerings? Would you make that commitment by faith and promise to God, God, I want to be a part of this great investment program. There's necessary funding. There's necessary faith. But boy, I praise the Lord for the necessary force. God gives the increase. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for this time this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to preach on faith, promise, missions, giving. And as I look into the camera this morning, I pray that the folks would, right now in the quietness of their own home, that each couple would make a commitment, that each young person that has any kind of resources and any kind of an income, I believe from the very early stages of a young person receiving either commissions or allowance, that it's wise of parents to teach them the habit of giving to the work of the Lord. And boy, it's something where the Lord said to those men that were gathered in that building on that day, and he looked and he said, you guys see that widow? That widow is putting in two mites, and she hath given more than they all. I believe the spread of the gospel has been far greater through the widow's mite than through the millionaire's purse. And I believe that we can come alongside of so many of these missionary families, and we can endeavor to raise up local churches in Hong Kong and more local churches in Porto Alegre, Brazil, and more local churches in Guayaquil, Ecuador, and Botswana, in South Africa, in Peru. Lord, we have the opportunity to raise up missionaries from our own midst and to see them sent forth. And Father, wherever you call a man, you will sustain that man. The question is not whether you have the cattle on a thousand hills. The question is, will I partner with you in what you have given to me? Will I entrust you with this investment to see others sent forth? There's necessary funding, and it comes from God's people. There's necessary faith. People have to step out on faith and trust you to provide. Boy, I tell you what joy it is when we see God actively work, and he gets behind that little pebble that was picked up out of the brook, and he gets behind that little cruse of oil, and he provides the victory. Oh, how wonderful it will be to be around your throne one day and to see faces that perhaps we never saw this side of heaven. We see them for the very first time. And missionary after missionary after missionary says, thank you for giving to the Lord. Here are some lives that were changed. Would you use FBT to continue to be a lighthouse to reach the world for Jesus Christ? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, please take this time in your house and in the privacy of this service today. Would you take time right now to pray about what God would have you to commit in this coming year to Faith Promise Missions Giving? Lord, whatever the commitment might be, would you help us to be faithful stewards of all that you allow to pass through the storehouses of FBT? We've not been placed in this location to merely be a storehouse. We've been placed here as stewards. And we ought to be faithful stewards of all that you allow to pass through our hands. It's not for us to build our own kingdom. It's not so that everybody in the country will know our name or think much of us. We've been called to participate in this great missions program. We've been called to partner with you in this great missions plan that fruit may abound. Thank you for our service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I know that the Missions Conference has been a blessing to each one, and I trust that God will continue to afford to us the resources to see more sent around the globe in the coming days. May God bless you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night.